Luke chapter 9, verse 57, beginning. It came to pass that when, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, that's to Jesus, here's what he said. He said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my father's house, or at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, we're interested in following Jesus. We probably would be somewhere else today if it were not for the fact that we are interested in following Jesus. And so we have that in common with these three guys who came to Jesus on this occasion during the course of his ministry. And all of them said basically the same thing. Sign me up to follow. We want to follow you, Lord. You know, and for all of these guys that said the good things that they were saying, Jesus didn't say to any of them what you and I would have probably said to them. We would have said, well, come on. Come on. It's past time for you to come on. But Jesus, to each one of those guys that came, didn't say, come. He said, if you want to come, you need to be aware of something first. And he told them what they needed to be aware of, that they might not have been anticipating otherwise. We are disciples of Christ. We are part and parcel of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, members of his body. He is the head. We're everything else. We're the feet and the hands and the heart and the, you know, we're all that other stuff. But we go where the head directs. If we are members of his body, we follow him. We have trouble, not with our intention, but we have trouble with our follow through. We intend to follow the Lord, you know. It's just that other stuff kind of gets in the way, and something that we didn't necessarily anticipate comes along, and so it just gets all messed up in there somewhere or another in this business of following the Lord. We're like these three guys. There's some stuff maybe that we need to know if we're going to be successful in this business of following the Lord. And part of that is simply following through. If we're Christians, we've made our confession of faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and we believe that with all of our heart. Well, then we just need to follow through with that. We need to deal with the issue of sin through repentance. We need to be baptized into Christ. And if we've done that, then, you know, there's other stuff that we need to address and spend our time with. It's just called following through. I never shot a basketball in the time that I played basketball. I never shot a basketball where my intent of shooting the basketball wasn't to do anything other than just go right through the net. Most of what I threw up there at the basket didn't do that. And most of the problem that I had in not doing that was there was something was wrong with my follow through. Every time I went up to bat to try and hit a baseball, my intent was to not strike out. My intent was to hit that thing with that bat. But there was something wrong with my follow-through, the posture of my elbow and the place that I located my hands on the bat and the snap of the wrist. And there was just stuff wrong with all of that. When I was coaching years ago in basketball, I hit hard on the business of shooting with proper technique. And of the importance of follow-through. When we would have scrimmages during our practice, I didn't keep the scoreboard by counting points by what basketball went in the basket. What I counted for, and we'll put the score on the board during practice sessions, was if the person that shot the ball had the correct follow-through. If they did, they got a point. If they didn't, they didn't get any point, regardless of whether it went in. Constantly, coaches say to athletes, pay attention to your follow-through. I need to do the same thing as a Christian. It's one thing to say something that is true and is right and is noble and is good. What this first guy said here in verse 57 was all of those things. He didn't put any limitations on that. He just said, Lord, wherever you go, whithersoever thou goest, if you look right over your right shoulder, I'm going to be right behind you. I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. I remind us all that Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Romans 14 and 7 says He is the Lord of the heavens and He is the Lord of earth. So of all of those that are up there in that place that we have not yet been, He is Lord. And of all of these down here, like us, He is Lord. I know this. He has earned the right to be followed. Every step that He took during the course of His life here on this earth was a step of self-sacrifice for you and for me. He has earned the right. He has paid the price to be King of Kings, to be Lord of Lords. I owe Him to follow. Well, we're just thinking about these guys this morning for a little bit, and we don't know how any of this came out. We know what Jesus told each one of them to do. We don't know whether all three of them did or acted upon the things that Jesus said to him. We just know what He said. You need to be aware of this. Here's what I'm going to say to you when you say to me, Lord, I'll follow you. The first one said, I will follow you whithersoever you go. And Jesus said, well, here's something. There's a cost you may not be aware of that is associated with that, and I want you to always be aware of the cost. He builds upon that in Luke chapter 14. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? And so, to this guy, here's a cost that goes along with being my disciple, following me. Foxes have a den. They can go down in the ground and have a place to sleep. Birds of the air have nests. You follow me, Jesus said. It may be uncomfortable. It may be less than what you are accustomed to. It may ask of you more than what you are accustomed to give. The Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Are you sure you want to follow? So as we say to the Lord, Lord, I will follow You, let there be no uncounted cost. No uncounted cost. Because following the Lord Jesus comes only, as you know, at a price. When we were young, as we used to play, and kids still play it, I guess, we used to play Follow the Leader. And the intent of Follow the Leader, at least the way we played it in Washburn Valley, was to not make it easy to follow the one who led. Everybody wanted to be the leader, but you had to take turns with that kind of stuff. And whoever was up that was leading the pack, that was following behind, the intent of the leader in front of the pack was, you really want to follow me? Let's see if you will follow me. And so the intent was, let's make this as hard as we can. And so, will you follow if I lead you through the blackberry patch? And so here we go. We didn't wear shoes in the summertime, but here you go through the blackberry patch. Will you follow? Climb up on the post and up onto the roof of the barn and jump off. Will you follow? You sure you want to follow? Have you counted all the cost of that? Follow the leader. Let there be no uncomplicated or no uncounted cost. I understand this about Jesus and the business of following Him. He is not interested in just making it so hard for us that we say, well, I followed you up to this point, but I'm not going to follow anymore. I mean, will you follow me across the pasture where the mean bull is? You know, don't know about that one. Jesus isn't out to make our journey harder than it has to be. But it's in the natural course of things, and we have to embrace this as a Christian. Living in a world that is determined to live in rebellion to God, it's in the natural course of things that the way will not always be easy. There is a devil in this world. You will be challenged. Do you really mean it? I will follow you, Lord, whithersoever thou goest. Count the cost. You know, when the fella that's in the lead is going where we want to go, there's no problem with following. I mean, we want to go there anyway. And so we know that Jesus talks to us about following Him, and we know that by following Him there is a peace that passes understanding. Well, Lord, sign me up for that group. There is a joy that is unspeakable and is full of glory. Put me in that group too. I'll follow you wherever that group is going. There is forgiveness and there is hope. John 10, Jesus says there is life, and not just life, there is an abundant life. That's good, Lord. I'll follow you when you're leading to those destinations. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more confronting the reality of death. I'll take some of that. But what if in order to get to those places, you must of necessity follow Him through others? That may not be quite as desirable. That may be a little bit more challenging to your faith and to your commitment. You know, things were going well with Daniel. I mean, he was a young guy. He was 16, 17, 15, something along in there. But he was a young guy, and he was living in Jerusalem. And hey, he was in the in crowd. His mom and daddy was somebody in Jerusalem. And all the friends that he had they were somebodies in the city of Jerusalem. They were young princes of Israel. He was educated. He was intelligent. He was cared for. He was loved. He was supported. He was taught. And then Nebuchadnezzar came. His future had unlimited potential there in Jerusalem. And then Nebuchadnezzar came. Following the Lord in Jerusalem was one thing. Following the Lord when He was led in captivity back to Babylon might be another thing altogether. It was easy back there. It may not be so easy in Babylon. Following the Lord in Babylon led him right into the lion's den, didn't it? And he gladly went. Following the Lord in Babylon separated him from all the other princes in Babylon that were being trained with the best that all the Babylon had to offer. Skilled and fed and taught and everything that Babylon could teach them. While Daniel and his friends said, "We can't eat that stuff. It's not kosher. Our God has forbidden it." And he had to take a stand right at the beginning of his life in Babylon. How good are we at following when where the Lord is leading is not where we want to go? That becomes the issue, isn't it? In Genesis chapter 22, the unthinkable happened. It happened to Abraham. Abraham thought he had already faced the hardest day in his life. And that hardest day wasn't when God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, "Get up and get out of Ur of Chaldees. I'm going to take you someplace else." So he had to leave his family and those that weren't coming, leave it all behind, start all over. And he thought that was a pretty hard deal, but that wasn't the hardest deal yet. He had a son. Came to have a son in his old age. Named Ishmael. And he loved that son as much as you would love yours or your daughter. And as that son was growing up, God said, "You have to send him away." And his mother with him. "You'll have no more involvement with this boy." And to that point in time in his life, this was the hardest thing that Abraham had ever done. Following God isn't always easy. Genesis 22 came, and Abraham saw that as hard as it was about to get harder. Because in Genesis chapter 22, God said, "Abraham, take now, verse 2, thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will shew thee." Abraham lived in a different era. Abraham wore different clothes than us. Abraham spoke in a different language than us. But Abraham is us. And all of us in our journey for God, as we have committed ourselves to follow in His steps, are going to find things that are extremely difficult. If it was easy, everybody could do it. Following the Lord isn't necessarily easy. The journey up that mountain and what took place on the side of that mountain put Abraham in the history books forever and gave him the title of the father of the faithful forever by the sacrifice that he made there of the son of promise. You say, well, Larry didn't kill him. Okay, God stayed his hand. But he took the step that he had to take to convince himself and to show to God that even when the going gets unimaginably difficult, Lord, I'll follow you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, back in the book of Daniel, they were three of the other princes that were, along with Daniel, were taken into captivity, and they faced the same sets of circumstances in Daniel chapter 3. Because of who they were invited to the feast that Nebuchadnezzar had prepared, the dedication of the idol that he himself had seen to the building of. And at the sounding of the music, everybody bowed down to worship the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made, with the exception of these three guys. And they came to stand before Nebuchadnezzar. And the furnace that he had heated to receive those that refused to bow, he heated seven times hotter. And they stood before Nebuchadnezzar and they said, you know, we're not sure what God's going to do with this. I mean, you know, he could deliver us. I mean, nothing's too hard for God. But he may not deliver us. But we're following him. Regardless of the cost. For those guys, there was no uncounted cost in following the Lord. And into the furnace they went. Following the Lord led Moses back to the one place he did not want to go. He had escaped Egypt with his life and barely had done that. He was on the 10 most wanted list in the province of Egypt. But he fled to Midian and he found a family that was there, an older man that had a bunch of kids, daughters. And he liked one of them a lot and learned to love that one. And so for 40 years he lived there in Midian with his father-in-law and with his wife, with his children. He was 80 years of age, and Egypt was a distant memory. When the bush began to burn but was not consumed, and in his curiosity he walked up, and his life changed forever. Because to follow the Lord, he had to go back to the one place in all the world that he didn't want to go. Following the Lord when it's easy is easy. When he leads us to places we want to go anyway, then following the Lord is a natural thing. What makes it difficult is that sometimes we have to walk through places to get to other places that we would like to be. And walking through those places are not always easy. Elijah followed where he didn't want to go. He went up Mount Carmel, and you know the story as well as I do. And he went up Mount Carmel and he encountered the prophets of Baal that were there, hundreds of them, and he was just Elijah. And all of Israel was gathered down at the base of that mountain because they were going to decide that day who really was Lord. Who is it, Jehovah God, or is it the Lords of the Philistines? And so you know how that unfolded. And there was tremendous victory. That was the greatest single day of Elijah's life, when fire came down from heaven and consumed that sacrifice. And when the people of God rose up and slew all those prophets of Baal and buried them down there in one mass grave at the foot of that mountain, it was the greatest day of his life. It wasn't hard to follow the Lord to that kind of victory. But then following him meant life on the run. Jezebel particularly did not like what he had done. So Elijah had to flee. Hunger, thirst, hiding out in a remote place with a poor widow, with a price on his head, following the Lord became quite difficult. Peter, you know, it was easy enough following the Lord when Jesus was right there. I mean, if a miracle needed to be done, Jesus was there to do it. If the crowd needed to be fed, Jesus was there to provide the food for the crowd that needed to be fed. If Peter had a question about any issue at hand, about the rightness or the wrongness of that, Jesus was there and he could say, "Hey, Lord, tell me what you think about this. I'm not sure exactly what you would have us to do." But Jesus had that conversation with Peter. This is in the Gospel of John, just as John gets ready to close the book. And God says, "Don't put down the pen yet. I want you to write one more thing." And so John chapter 21 went at the end of John chapter 20. Because God wanted to have recorded the conversation that Jesus was going to have with Peter. And that Peter knew he was going to have with the Lord. Peter had denied the Lord three times. Jesus was now crucified and risen from the dead. Peter and the others had gone back to the shore of Galilee to do some fishing. Jesus showed up there on the shore. They had breakfast together, Jesus and some of the other disciples that were there. And after the breakfast was over, Jesus went for a little walk and said, "Peter, you might want to come with me." And he said to Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter said, "Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." And three times the question, three times the answer occurred. John was over there not too far away from where the conversation was going on. Jesus had said this to Peter in verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But Peter," he says, "when you are old, everything is harder when you are old. But when you are old, you'll stretch forth your hands, and others shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." And to Peter he said, "Just follow me." And Peter said, "But Lord, if that's my fate, what about this fellow over here? What about John?" Jesus said, "Well, you know, don't worry about John. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And every step that Peter followed became increasingly difficult, until finally he gave up his life, crucified for the name of Christ. Paul followed Jesus, and it led him into a thorn patch. And he had to live with those thorns for the rest of his life. Though he besought the Lord that the thorns could be removed, the Lord said, "You know, my grace is sufficient for thee. I think you need to keep them." And Peter, Paul said, "Okay, keep them I will." And he followed Jesus. Through beatings, through stonings, through shipwreck, through prison, and into death. There was with Paul no uncounted cost. There was with Peter, there was with Elijah, there was with Moses, there was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with Abraham, with Daniel, no uncounted cost. Well, Larry, how about with you? I don't know if I have counted every cost or not. My commitment is to follow the Lord. And I just pray that my faith will live up to my commitment. So Jesus said in conversation with these guys, "I'll follow you," the first one said, "whithersoever you go." And so Jesus said, "Count the cost." He said to this other guy, verse 59, he said, Lord, when Jesus said, "Follow me," he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And so there were some things this fellow needed to take care of too before he began following Jesus, he thought. Jesus wanted to understand that the cost of following him could be higher than what he has imagined. You say, "Larry, it doesn't sound like the Lord in verse 60. He wouldn't care if you went to your father's funeral. Surely he wouldn't begrudge this man that. I don't know exactly what the Lord meant to him when he said what he said. I don't know if the guy was dead or not dead. He doesn't say specifically here. I just don't know. It must mean something other than what it sometimes seems to us to say, because this would be inconsistent with what we know to be true of the Lord's person. I think the difficulty was in the way he responded with when he said, "Lord, suffer me first." I don't think anything that he put after that would have been acceptable. Whatever that thing was. That if following the Lord is the priority for us, that it ought to be. When he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." If it is the priority in our lives that he would have it to be, and that we know it should be, then he comes first. He could not or would not sense the urgency. He was willing to delay a little while what needed to be done right then. Well, that can be many of us, can't it? How long did you delay before you finally obeyed the gospel? How many sermons did you hear preach and have to twist and squirm your way through an invitation before you finally got out the building without having to do what the preacher said do? I mean, that speaks to all of us, doesn't it? Another said, "Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And same problem, it seems like, that the other guy had. He too lacked a sense of urgency about getting done what needs to be done, getting on with the task of following the Lord. So Jesus said, we need to finish this up. Jesus said this, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The journey that we are on as Christian people is a journey in one direction. Just one direction. It can't be two. You can't say, where are you going? Well, I'm going north and south. Well, you can't go north and south. If you go north, you go north at the cost of everything else. North, south, east, or west. Are you following the Lord? The price of that is everything else. It's loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Kind of following. Well, that is our commitment as a church. If you're a Christian, that is your commitment as a Christian. We do that fallibly. We do that stumbling quite often. But our determination is to follow Him. This morning, if you're here not a Christian, then you have that opportunity. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, just as He said to those three guys back then, "Love to have you come. But come understanding what's involved. And come now, not tomorrow. In confession of your faith and repentance, we'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of every sins. He'll add you to the church. We'll continue on this journey together. Or if you need our prayers as God's child, you come all together, we stand and sing."